Bastogne, Belgium, January 3rd, 1945. One shot. That's all it would take, I figured, as I warmed my hands around the campfire with a few other shivering soldiers. One shot, and this frozen hell of Belgium's Ardennes forest would be over for me. It was January 1945, 7 months since me and the guys in the 101st Airborne's 506th Parachute Infantry Regiment had jumped into that dark sky over Normandy. Now, a handful of us Easy Company guys were numb from war, death, and bitter cold and snow. In the flames' flickering light, I looked down at my boots, wrapped in burlap bags and purposefully dipped in water so they'd freeze and keep my feet warmer. One shot and those damn feet would never be cold again. One shot and the sight of Joe Toy and Bill Garnier lying in the snow, each missing a leg, would never haunt me again. Why Toy? Why not the SOB who I'd seen a few days ago slicing fingers off the dead German soldiers to get their rings? The guy who was almost smiling when he told me, cutting those fingers was just like cutting a candle in half. Toy was wounded in Normandy, Holland, and once here, coming back with his arm in a sling to fight. Maybe I'm biased because, like me, Joe was Irish. But hadn't he already paid the war piper? And why Garnier? He gets it trying to save Joe. The Germans are raining down artillery shells like a 4th of July show gone wrong, and Bill sees Joe out there trying to get up and so runs across the snow to save his buddy, sort of like one swimmer trying to help another swimmer who's drowning, and boom, both end up drowning. At least it hadn't been Skip Muck, whose first platoon was a few hundred yards away from our second. He was closer than a brother to me. I blew on my cupped hands to warm them up. I then put my right hand onto the pistol's holster and around the wooden grip, cold as a frozen salmon. We were virtually surrounded by the Germans, the proverbial hole in the donut, and had been here for more than 2 weeks, though time wasn't easy to keep track of when you couldn't see beyond the fog and snow of some ice-boxed forest that's so far from home that you can hardly remember what home is like anymore. Sometimes in the night, when the quiet wasn't feared as much, I would remember home. Not so much my family or our house in Astoria, where I'd grown up near where the Columbia River meets up with the Pacific Ocean, but the cabin. It was snug to the Nehalem River in Oregon's Coast Range. I lived like an Indian, swam in the Nehalem each day, dove for crawdads, went bird hunting with a bow carved from a yew tree. While crouched in a foxhole in Bastogne, I remembered watching the riffle in the river, knowing that beneath that water lived sea-run cutthroat trout and crawdads galore. I remembered easing into the current and letting it take me, fishing pole in hand, wherever it might. I remembered fires on the banks at night, the sound of a hoot owl, and the smell of late summer blackberries. All things that now didn't seem possible, unless... One shot. I looked at the flames and fingered the pistol, a P-38 I'd picked up from a German we'd taken prisoner in Holland. One shot, and I'd be back to all that. Not a shot in the head, though a few soldiers were known to do that, too. But in the foot. Hell, there's no sugarcoating it. This was a coward's way out. It wasn't common, but it happened in war. One squeeze of the trigger, and you'd be unable to fight. You'd be a liability to your company, so they'd have no choice but to ship you back to the safety of England, maybe even the States. Accidents happen.